The following is a Compassion Radio classic broadcast, recorded a few years ago and featuring the Reverend Dr. Norm Nelson.
God died on a cross for your sins, and it's like, wait a minute, you don't understand what I've done. And then you read the stories in the Bible of all the things those guys have done. If God can use them, then surely He can use me.
That's right.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
When you do it for the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. Hello, friend, and welcome to Compassion Radio, the daily journal of God's work through God's people all around God's earth. We've got a great story to tell today about a gentleman who, at one time, was what he calls a hardened and angry individual. Until, that is, he was brought to his knees by a tragic circumstance in his life. Today, by God's grace, he's doing some remarkable work for the poor and needy in his community on behalf of his Lord and Savior. Yes, a great and inspiring story indeed. Here's Norm to get us started on this special broadcast.
All right, our guest today on Compassion Radio is a guy that I know pretty well because we're related. His name is Tom Sweeney, and God is doing incredible things in the life of Tom, and we're going to tell his story today on Compassion Radio. Tom, welcome to Compassion Radio. Great to have you on the air with me, buddy.
Norm, thank you. Thanks, Compassion Radio, for allowing me to be on the air today.
Tom, just to get the ball rolling on this story and the journey that you've been on for a number of years, I'd like to start, first of all, with sort of a brief description of something that happened last Saturday through your organization, an organization that you founded, and I'll let you give the name and all of that. But it was an amazing experience out in an area generally referred to in Southern California as the Inland Empire.
Yeah, last weekend was amazing. God showed up, five different churches, three small Hispanic churches, and two what I would call mega churches in Chino Hill, kind of collaborated together. I've worked for 24 years in South Pomona. We invited these churches to my school, and that's the crazy part is it's happening on a public school campus.
Amazing.
The Lord showed up. We'd been collecting clothes through Kimberly's Closet, one of the other kind of sidebar ministries we have here. These wonderful ladies from Clothing with Dignity had this idea of what they call hands to hands. Well, they were doing it at their church in Chino Valley, and they got about 200 people walking through their doors, and which is great. But they thought, you know, if we came to South Pomona and brought the clothes and the food, and most importantly, the gospel to the people in, you know, where they could walk to the property, what would that look like? So we had no idea what was going to happen. We used the all-call system through the school district. We had a partnership with Western University medical team, their physician's assistants, their pharmacy department, their vision department. So there's like five different schools of education through the medical team, plus Dr. Main and Dr. Enrique Medina allowed us to tap into adult education with the cosmetology school. So 90 people received free haircuts.
Hundreds
of people got medical screenings, dental checkups, vision tests. And then again, you know, over 1,200 pieces of clothing for free. Food for Life Ministry gave away groceries. And then God's Pantry, we cooked about 800 breakfasts and over 1,000 hot dogs for lunch.
That's great.
So it was just amazing. And, again, the most important part is at least five people accepted the Lord.
My goodness. Tom, you've been on a long journey. God's Pantry, as I said before, is the name of the organization. You referred to it in your description of what happened last Saturday. Let's go back about 25 to 20 years ago. You and I knew each other back then. In fact, I remember you at that time. I knew you as kind of not only as a member of the family, the brother of my son-in-law, Mike. I remember you being a football player at University of Nevada at Las Vegas, which is Division I and all of that. Tell us about Terrible Tom, as you were described back then.
Several nicknames, and unfortunately, that was one of them. I was an angry guy. I channeled a lot of my anger and frustration and in football, but when I didn't have football to run into people, and I took it on those I loved, and anybody within, you know, I was not a nice person. I was definitely not living a God-honoring life.
Were you aware at the time, Tom, that something was wrong, that this is not the life you were created to live? Or were you kidding yourself and just more or less operating in a kind of ignorance or self-justification for what you were doing?
You know, when you grow up, I wouldn't say we were poor, but we weren't without. And then you go off to college on a scholarship, and you're around people that have. I call them the haves.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, you know, it made me angry. You know, why didn't I have all those worldly things?
Yeah, life is not fair.
No.
Yeah.
And what's nice is the promise in the Bible, it says life's not going to be fair.
Yeah.
And once you can get that perspective, it changes what's important. I think that was the biggest thing. I was just very angry.
Was it the violence in your behavior that you would focus on, or was it something else, or was it all kind of a package of anger being expressed in ways that were not productive?
Well, you can go back as far as when I was a little kid, and you know, people would make fun of me, and then I would beat them up, and by beating them up, and then I got my way. So I think it was reinforced at an early age that violence kind of settles things. And again, as you get older, the consequences get greater, and, you know, you start to take inventory of what's really important. And, I mean, my last fist fight, I was the day before my engagement party to my lovely wife, Susie.
Hmm.
And I met her parents with a black eye and stitches.
Oh, dear.
So, and I think at that fight is when I realized that nobody wins.
Football is a violent game. And it was kind of tailor-made for you then, wasn't it?
Well, and really, I mean, when you think about if I didn't have that outlet, how much worse would I have been? And how many more people would I have hurt if I didn't have that? So in a lot of strange kind of way, football saved my life. But that's the sovereignty of God. You know, he put coaches and people in my life. You know, Coach Dennis Gossard and... I mean, he was like a father to me. Harvey Hyde.
Harvey Hyde.
Instrumental in taking a chance on, because I wasn't a very good athlete, so it was just nastiness that got me through it, I guess.
And you're a big guy, like about 6'3", 300 pounds?
Yeah.
Yeah,
about 285, about 6'3", when I played football.
Now, what was the sort of event that came along that got you thinking about a change that maybe it was possible, and a door that opened up to you?
Again, I think I grew up, I knew about Jesus, but I didn't really have a relationship with him yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was dating my wife at the time, and she was in a pretty bad car accident. And kind of defining moment, a Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Brother Tom, and if he's listening, God, I hope I can ever get a hold of him, because he was pretty instrumental in talking to me in the early years, just letting me know kind of about this guy, Jesus. And I kind of blew him off, like, oh, whatever. You know, I kind of had to listen to him because we were at training table, and it was Sunday morning, and, you know, we'd play Saturday night. Sunday morning, we'd have to go to training table and then to practice. But at training table, he would give a little message.
Hmm.
And that time, my wife, she got in a car accident, and she had hurt the other people, and she was very distraught by that. And I didn't know where else to go, so I took her to him and kind of helped us through that. When I think about, you know, tragedies and different events, looking back, that car accident is what draws us closer together and enabled us to be in the relationship. Now we're celebrating our 24th wedding anniversary.
Wow. You talked about walking in the door of a church, and you didn't really know where you were going, in a sense.
It's funny because, again, I was raised Catholic, and I have really no problem with the Catholic Church. They do some amazing, amazing things. But we moved to Chino Hills, and I had my sons. My second son was on the way, and Shane was two. And, you know, growing up Catholic, it was kind of like, okay, it's time to get back into church and raise my kids in the church because I want my kids to have good morals. So we went to St. Paul's, which is a large Catholic church here in Chino Hills, and it was just being constructed. And next door was Inland Hills Church, the church I still attend. And I pull up with my family, and the usher greeter outside says, I said, is this St. Paul's Catholic Church? And he says, that's a church. Come on in. So I thought I was going into St. Paul's, and to my surprise, it was a non-denominational Willow Creek Association church that had amazing music and a real kind of life application message. And, of course, my wife was hooked, and the kids loved the Sunday school class, and the rest is history. So I didn't leave the Catholic Church because I was upset or anything. It just, Inland Hills Church is just a real relevant and practical way to worshiping Christ.
Obviously, that was God's place for you, and He had something there for you, and you were surprised by it, as so often happens. We meet Jesus Christ, the living Christ, at times and in places very often where we're surprised that He's there. And it may be a new environment and so forth. I think it's really important, Tom. I love your story. And, of course, you know I love you and I love your family. You're tremendous guys. And it's so important for our listeners to understand that your story could be their story.
Yeah, I think when you actually dig into the Bible and you actually start reading it, looking at it, and hearing the different stories and the Bible characters, and story after story after story is a story of restoration. I mean, when you think of Paul, and, you know, he was beating up Christians and, you know, persecuting them. And he wrote the, you know, better part of the second half of the book, right? I mean, Moses was a murderer, Abraham. I mean, you know, it was just story after story of things that, you know, God's guys that were righteous in God's eyes were not perfect in the world. You know, David.
That's so well said.
So for me, it was reassuring when I would hear in my small group on Bible study, and then guys would say, you know what, you're forgiven for your past, present, and future sins. God died on a cross for your sins. And it's like, wait a minute, you don't understand what I've done.
Yeah.
And then you read the stories in the Bible of all the things those guys have done. And it's like, well, wait a minute. If God can use them, then surely He can use me.
That's right.
Great insights once again on today's Compassion Radio. Just wanted to sneak in really quick to say thank you. Yes, thank you for your prayer support and urgently needed financial support of this unique Boots on the Ground radio ministry. It would mean so much to hear from you today. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or give online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. Thank you for your support of Compassion Radio. Now, back to the program.
Nothing disqualifies us from the love of God, does it?
No.
And that's been your experience.
And there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing I can do to make God love me less. And
Amen.
That is such a reassuring message.
Now, that realization, Tom, has been empowering to you. How did God's pantry, how did it come into existence? What was the thinking, the event, whatever, that led to this?
It definitely was a journey. It's probably been 10 years. And again, we started with a small group of men just muddling along. And some of the guys in the group were really handy construction worker kind of guys. And I'm not. But those guys are, and we got invited over to a little church in Pomona, the pastor, Bishop Wilkins. He's been feeding the homeless since, like, 1984, and he wanted a patio cover, kind of a carport built to help cover the homeless when it's sunny or when it's raining. So they feed them out there. They feed every day, breakfast and dinner. So Pastor Wilkins invites some of our small group over to take a look at building this thing for him, and I started talking to Pamela Lynn, who's in charge of coordinating the dinners. Well, I couldn't build anything, but I said, you know, I could cook. You know, we were cooking at the time for the junior high ministry because my kids were in junior high, and we'd go mm-hmm. camping, and I would be the camp cook. You know, cooking for 100 people was no big deal. We could do that. And so with all our camping stoves and all that, we started making dinner, lunch once a month. So my 10 guys, and we would go over there, and we'd make lunch, and we would feed the homeless. Mm. It was wonderful. Yeah. And that led to Thanksgiving, and we started helping Pastor Wilkins with that. And then I was able to connect my school, the families that I serve at all day long here at school, are the same families that then we started delivering Thanksgiving meals to.
Mm.
And then that kind of snowballed to the point where we had too many volunteers and it got too big with the help of Inland Hills Church to do it on that little campus on 10th Street. So we still provide the supplies to him, but all the volunteers now. In the last three Thanksgivings, we've fed 5,000 people at each, and we cook the meals there and package them and actually deliver them to their homes. So from that, the group of guys said, you know what, that's not enough. We can't just feed a Thanksgiving. You know, people need to eat year-round.
Yeah.
So we thought, okay, you know, we're doing the homeless thing once a month. Now we're doing it twice a month. We got another group. We call them Friends of PVCC, Dan and Sylvia. They took over the lunch, so that freed us up to do the breakfast. And then we started going to trailer parks and to apartment complexes and giving away food and giving away clothes. The clothes came about with a young girl named Kimberly. I had to call social services, and she had no clothing. And I put on Facebook, I asked my friends to put on Facebook, and they did. And by that afternoon, I had 5 bags of clothes and $300-$400 in gift cards to help take care of the little girl. But all the clothes didn't fit her, so we needed to somehow do something with them. So I had empty classrooms here at the school and this group of guys that are builder guys. And so we built a dressing room and painted it and built racks, and they created a free thrift store at my school. So any family that comes to my school through the Pomona Family Resource Center or any students that attend my school can come and get free clothing anytime, 3 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon every day during the week. So that then, we had so much clothing, people just keep giving. We can't store it all, so we have to go out to the trailer parks. We have to go to the apartment complex and give it away. While all that's going on, I got connected with Gary and Nancy Wyman. They do Connected Blessings out of Anaheim and Yorba Linda. And he does an actual food pantry. And I saw, wow, it's like a franchise, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I saw how God is working through these amazing people, and I was like, that's what we need to do. It's not just cooking meals and giving them clothes, but we need to give them groceries that they can sustain themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Gary at Anaheim, Veterans of Foreign War, they give out 300 to 500 bags of groceries every single Monday.
Mm.
I mean, it's amazing to see the amount of food that God is moving through there and blessing people with.
Tom, this story, obviously, and this journey is not over. You're right in the middle of something.
But Norm, it's not about the food. It's not about that.
Yeah. What is it about?
The food is just an instrument or a tool to show people Christ's love.
That's it.
God's Pantry, our mission statement is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ by helping meet the basic nutritional and spiritual needs of a community as we spread the love in a practical way. So when you think about it, it's like, you know, why did people want to be part of the early church? Well, in Acts 4, it's because all of their needs were met, right? They came together, they shared their talents and their gifts and their possessions, and they cared for each other. And who wouldn't want to be part of that?
One of the best descriptions of all of this, I have to say, is in a book written by the sociologist who at one time was at the University of Washington and now is connected with Baylor University in Texas, Rodney Stark, who spells out in such dramatic fashion how God used the compassion of the early Christians to build the church. And this is what you're doing. Tom, in 30 seconds, I hear this all the time on talk radio. We have about 30 seconds left. Say something to our listeners to encourage them to do what you're doing or what God is calling them to do, to be open to it in their community. He can do that through them, can't he? As he has through you.
Again, I think if you have to first stop listening to the lies of the evil one, that you're not good enough, and tune into what Christ has done for you, and understand that the Bible is a collection of stories that are about restoration. And God's final restoration is going to be his second coming, right? I mean,
amen.
That's when we're all going to be restored to how his original plan was for to be like the Garden of Eden, right?
That's right.
So until that happens, each of us have been uniquely talented, gifted. We're not all going to be famous authors. We're not all going to be amazing poets or whatever. But each of us is a ministry that God is calling us to do. And our job is to try different things until you tune into exactly how God's wired you. And when you do that, it's amazing to me how God just keeps opening doors and the blessings from the most unlikely places.
Yeah.
People have donated the startup money. You know, I hired a lawyer so that we would protect the church to do the nonprofit, so that if someone were to get sick or whatever, God forbid, the church is protected. So that's why we had to become our own nonprofit. That being said, even the lawyer was so taken aback at what we're trying to do that he gave us a refund, which is just incredible. So warehouse, guys giving us a warehouse to use rent-free, forklift, guy donated a forklift to Pallet Jack, a truck. Our operating cost is about $300 a month right now.
And amazing.
The same money I used to spend to feed 80 to 100 people is now feeding 1,000. So God, if we truly trust him, and that was part of my journey, was trusting God and my finances too, and not trying to do it all myself, but trusting that God would provide, and he does. That's the amazing. There's so many people that are so generous and so willing. They're just looking for a place to serve.
Amen.
So what I would say is be available and obey. And just pray, and God will show you where he wants you to serve. And it's been just an amazing journey for me and my wife and my kids. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do next. I just, I'm in awe. I mean, because truly all of this is his deal. And I'm just so blessed to just get to go along for the journey.
He's doing it. Yeah, he's doing it, and he's doing it through you. As we're told in the New Testament, Christ came not to save the righteous, but sinners. That's all of us.
I definitely fit that category.
Well, it's all of us. And I think your words have been very encouraging. Tom Sweeney, the founder, the president, and the chief cook and bottle washer of God's Pantry. What a great story. And I want to thank you so much, Tom, for sharing this information.
We're on Facebook at, I think it's California, God's Pantry, CA, because there's other God's Pantries. But yeah, check us out on Facebook or info@godspantry.org.
All right. Thanks again, Tom, and God bless you on your journey with him. Great things are ahead.
Thanks, Norm.
And that's a wrap on today's classic edition of Compassion Radio, featuring the late Reverend Dr. Norm Nelson, who passed to his eternal reward on April the 10th of this year. And by the way, you can find out more about the ministry Norm discussed today with special guest Tom Sweeney when you go online to godspantry.org. One of the reasons we wanted to bring this one out of the archives is because of the humble, grace-filled simplicity of a ministry like Tom's and how you and I, each one of us, can do something for someone to help lighten their load a little bit. Amen. You know, those words remind me of a profound expression that one of our guests offered some time ago on this program. He said, "What is God's plan for the poor? We are God's plan A, and there is no plan B." If you believe that God's love needs concrete expression in a needy world, pray about what God would have you do to stand with this Compassion Radio ministry right now. There's nothing like it in Christian radio, and we thank you for your generosity. You can give by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover by calling the ministry on our toll-free offering and order line, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Feel free to reach out by mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And of course, there's always the website. You can find us online at CompassionRadio.com. Always safe and secure and available to you 24/7. CompassionRadio.com. It's critical to the future of Compassion Radio that we hear from our partners ASAP. And that's you, my friend. We're in our 74th year of ministry here at Compassion Radio. This longevity testifies to God's remarkable blessing on this ministry. Again, our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. Have a beautiful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again tomorrow with more Compassion Radio.